live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, large crowds are gathered today at St. Columba's Church in Glenswilly to say their final goodbyes to the late councillor and rally champion Manus Mandy Kelly. Donegal businessman Jim Ferry has been jailed for 9 weeks by the High Court. The Dáil has been told that the closure of Kilcar Post Office at the end of this week is unnecessary and contrary to the agreement announced last year by Ampost and the IPU. And it's been claimed that ongoing delays in social welfare appeals are leaving many people in the North West waiting months for decision and consequently out of pocket. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, Manus Mandy Kelly has been remembered as a man who left his smile in a person's heart. Thousands of mourners gathered at St. Columba's Church in Glenswilly today to say their goodbyes to the late councillor and rally champion who lost his life competing in the Donegal International Rally at the weekend. Alongside family members and friends in attendance was Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin, Minister Joe McHugh and the Taoiseach's aide de camp. The Caoimhleadh of Donegal County Council and the Caoimhleadh of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District, to which Manus was elected to just 4 weeks ago, were present, as well as fellow councillors. A number of items of remembrance were brought forward by members of Manus's family, including a family photo, his racing helmet, a Glenswilly jersey, the Jim Kennedy Memorial Trophy and a Donegal flag. Father Paddy Dunn, during his homily, spoke of how a community fell silent to welcome Manus home.
Manus's death has come as a very dreadful shock to all of us, and I think we're still trying to come to terms with even the reality that he's gone. It was very, very striking and very moving as his remains came back to his homeland here at the Glen. You see the car engines being turned off and Letterkenny town going silent, cars pulling over and people coming out of everywhere and anywhere to line the streets and ditches to welcome Manus, to honour his way back home again. It was something that he'd be so proud of himself. You see the queues over the wake of his last few days. I know what he was thinking. Some votes there, boy.
He also touched on how unaware Manus was of the number of people he impacted in such a short space of time.
I don't think Manus or any of us realised the way he touched people's hearts. The amount of people I met who said that, you know, I'm Manus's friend. The amount of people felt that they were important to Manus. And I asked them and they said, you know, well, meet his big happy smiley head every time you see him. You know, as one of the lads said last night beautifully, that when he went in somewhere, he went in smiling and cheerfully greeted people. But he didn't take a smile with him. He left that smile in the person's heart. And Manus had that uncanny ability to be so warm, cheerful, good-humoured. You're kind of expecting him to come up and hit you a dig in the ribs and the laugh. Any time we got it, we're now rubbing the head. You know, he's touched all of us in different ways, so deeply. And he's left his mark and so many different memories. I know for his family, Manus was just loved so deeply and dearly.
A three-day strike by health workers would be unknown territory, according to the union representing them. 10,000 support staff, including cleaners, porters and chefs, are due to step up their industrial action next week if there's no resolution in the dispute over pay rises. Government officials and SIPTU are holding talks this afternoon to try and avoid that happening. Paul Bell from the union says they want to avoid more disruption to the health service.
We much prefer not to see a repeat of yesterday, next week of course, but a three-day dispute is really unknown territory for everybody, and we hope not to experience that. We hope to really work out a solution here today within the Workplace Relations Commission.
Donegal businessman Jim Ferry has been jailed for 9 weeks by the High Court. Mr. Ferry was in prison for contempt on what's believed to have been the 14th time the matter of his illegal dumping at Ross Bracken was before Mr. Justice Max Barrett. Mr. Ferry has failed to adhere to orders granted to Donegal County Council by Mr. Justice Barrett at previous sittings, directing him to explain what had become of the money estimated by the council to run into millions of euros that he was paid by householders to dispose of their waste. Instead of disposing it legally, Mr. Farry buried the waste illegally on his land at Rossbracken. Irish Times journalist Peter Murtaugh was at the High Court. Earlier, he spoke on the 9 till noon show.
As the old saying goes, follow the money, and people are unable to follow the money at the moment because Mr. Farry won't explain where it went. He has claimed that the problem arises from the weighing of bins and lifting of bins and charging by weight, and that something went wrong in the charging by weight, and so he was in fact undercharging people, not overcharging people. I mean, it hasn't been accepted by the court. It certainly hasn't been accepted by Donegal County Council or the regional waste enforcement people who are working with the council. It just simply doesn't add up. And so the High Court has repeatedly asked Mr. Farry to explain where the money went. The council employed its own forensic accountant to examine this, and he estimated that in 1 year alone, Mr. Farry, through double entry accountancy, he was keeping two sets of books in his business, was skimming about €300,000 in that year alone off the business. And so, you know, the whole court has demanded an explanation for this and demanded full cooperation from Mr. Farry, and that has not been forthcoming in the court's view, and that's why he was sent to jail yesterday.
The Dáil has been told that the closure of Kilcar Post Office at the end of this week is unnecessary and contrary to the agreement announced last year by AmPost and the IPU. A topical issues motion taken by Deputies Pat the Cope Gallagher and Pierce Doherty heard that the community in Kilcar was not given the same opportunity to raise objections and make observations. Junior Finance Minister Patrick Donovan, who took the debate instead of Communications Minister Richard Bruton, said the Kilcar decision was one for AmPost, but which the minister has no responsibility.
It's been stated here previously that AmPost is a commercial state company and as such day-to-day operational matters, including decisions in relation to the company, are a matter for the board of the management of the company and not ones in which the Minister for Communications, Climate Action and Environment has a statutory function. The post office in Kilcar is due to close at the end of the week as a result of the postmaster retiring. The business, including Department of Employment Affairs and Social Protection Payments, will transfer to Carrick Post Office, which is 5 kilometres away, and deputies from Donegal will know this better than I do. I understand the Carrick, like Kilcar, is situated within the Gaeltacht, and customers can also contact the Department of Employment and Social Affairs to arrange for collections at post offices of their choice, including those at Killybegs and Glencullum Quill, in addition to Carrick. The transfer to Carrick will help to secure a sustainable future for that office and for the other offices in the area as well, as ensuring access to services, to post office services. And Post has confirmed that there will be no change to mail services to the Kilcar, to the Kilcar area and the surrounding ones.
Deputies Gallagher and Doherty both rejected that, saying the speed of the Kilcar closure is totally unacceptable. Both are seeking a meeting with Minister Bruton, with Deputy Gallagher saying the government can't sidestep its responsibility.
When we had the private member's motion here, not alone was it carried, it was unanimous. The government supported that motion, and then the cynical exercise went off and did the opposite. Well, you say, Minister, in your script that it's not a matter for the government or AmPost, that they're a statutory body. It was the government that gave their imprimatur. The ministers in government, including our own Donegal minister, who gave the imprimatur to AmPost to carry on and do this. I appeal to you, Minister, to request Minister Bruton to meet with the Donegal deputies that we can make the case directly to him.
Thank you.
Can't hide behind statutory bodies while the government took this decision.
Thank you, Deputy Doherty.
Minister, we need a bit of common sense here. I would invite yourself and Minister Bruton to come down to Kilcar to see, to listen, to talk to the people, to listen to the businesses who use that service all the time, to listen to them, who they employ people in the area, how they're trying to build up a rural Gaeltacht area, and they see the state taking the services away from them. I think the suggestion by Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher is one that needs to be actioned as soon as possible. We need to be talking face to face with the Minister, and we need to get this done quickly. This post office is about to close in the next couple of days, and there is no reason for it whatsoever. This is falling outside of the agreement, in my view, between the IPU and AmPost. The voluntary redundancies have already happened. We were told it was to secure the network, and now we have another post office closed. How many other post offices are going to close if this is the type of carry-on from AmPost as the government sits in our hands?
The finance minister has raised questions over why AIR didn't suggest a cheaper price for the national broadband plan before now. The government's preference for the rollout is Granahan McCourt at a price of €3 billion. But no contracts have been signed yet, and AIR says it could do it for less than €1 billion. Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue says the company needs to explain how it could deliver the plan at that price.
I don't think it'd be fair to me now to indicate, you know, what we're going to do, apart from saying what's obvious that we need to do is exactly understand what AIR are proposing. We met them only a number of weeks ago, or the Department of Communications did. This proposition didn't rise then, and they were inside the national broadband process and they withdrew.
It's been claimed that ongoing delays in social welfare appeals are leaving many people in the northwest waiting months for a decision and consequently out of pocket. While successful applicants will be backdated, it could take up to 6 months before they are even considered. The issue has led to serious concern for those affected, some potentially waiting on €6,000. South Donegal Deputy Eamon Scanlon is urging both the Taoiseach and Social Protection Minister to fund additional resources to address the major backlog.
Response from Minister Regina Doherty in relation to this, and she tells me in writing that the delay in 2018 was 6.9 weeks and in 2019 6.1 weeks. But I can tell the Minister that, and I've raised this in the door with the Taoiseach yesterday, I have a case where we appealed carers allowance application that was refused. We appealed it on the 12th of March. And to date, it hasn't even arrived in the appeals office as of yesterday. And that's 14 weeks. And I asked then how long will it take to deal with the appeal when it arrives there, and she said it could take up to 3 months. So we're looking at 6 months, and many of them are very successful, and sometimes they're refused on very minor detail, sometimes not sufficient information sent in. And it's no wonder in 2018 we lost 207,000 bed nights in hospitals where people didn't have to be in hospital, where they could be at home if there was a little bit of care given for people.
And some people are waiting up to €6,000 in possible payments.
That's right. And anybody who is successful, of course, will get back the money that's due to them, paid back to them. But that's little solace to people who are currently caring for people at home, who have given up their jobs, who have no income whatsoever, and waiting for this payment to come through. It's very, very unfair.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with the latest arrival of men's, women's and kids' clothing from leading sports labels like Nike, Adidas and Under Armour.
It's almost 5:15 and time's latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. At the European Games, Chloe and Sam McGee are through to the quarterfinals of the mixed doubles in badminton. The Donegal siblings defeated the Belarus team 21-9, 21-11 this morning, and their place in the last eight was secured when France defeated Russia. The McGees can win Ireland's seventh medal of the Games if they progress to the semi-finals tomorrow, and Sam McGee knows they'll need to be at their best.
It's going to take a world-class performance to get to the next level. It'll probably be the two English pairs or the Dutch pair, or the GB, sorry, and the Dutch pair. So all three pairs of them are world-class. So it's going to take a big performance to get on through from here.
In soccer, Le Havre hosts the first of the Women's World Cup quarter-finals this evening. Norway, they play England. Kick-off theirs at 8 o'clock. Elsewhere, Liverpool have completed their first signing of the summer. 17-year-old defender Sepp Vandenberg was signed from Eredivisie's side PEC Zuella. Vandenberg has cost an initial €1.3 million. And Barcelona's vice president Jordi Cardona admits that Neymar wants to rejoin Barcelona. The Brazilian forward left the Catalan Giants for PSG 2 years ago, but is now believed to be unhappy in Paris. However, Cardona says they've not spoken with Neymar and issues remain over his 2017 departure from the Nou Camp. Elsewhere, Kevin O'Connor will remain at Cork City until the end of the season. The fullback rejoined the club on loan from Preston in February, but will stay until the autumn. Cork will have their eyes on events in Luxembourg this evening, where Progress Nidecorn take on Cardiff Met Union in the first leg of the Europa League preliminary round tie. The eventual winners will face the Leasiders in the qualifying round. Another couple of games taking place tonight. Barry Town, they host Cliftonville, and Ballymena United, they play NSA Runavik. Chelsea there to begin their pre-season campaign with a pair of friendlies in Dublin. The Premier League side will face Bohemians in Dalymount Park on July the 10th. Then the Blues will face St Pat's at Richmond Park on July the 13th. Now the pair of games come before Chelsea head to Japan for games with J-League champions Kawasaki and Barcelona. Well, Finn Harps, their game against Sligo Rovers in Ballybuffet tomorrow night could be a crucial game for their season. Harps are currently bottom of the SSE or Trusty League Premier Division table and need to start picking up points to have any hopes of avoiding relegation. Finn Harps player Gareth Harkin told Chris Ashmore that Harps have to be realistic about where they are in the table.
Let's be realistic when we look at the table. We're like double figure points behind the team above us. So ourselves and UCD level, but of course they have them three games at hand, which could be a massive boost. But no, we just have to look at the next game in hand now, which is Sligo. So big game for us, and hopefully we can get the right result.
Fun Harps against Sligo, kickoff 8 o'clock in Fun Park tomorrow night. And cycling, Ireland Irish National Road Championships are taking place in Derry, supported by Derry City and Strabane and District Council this week. This evening, the best time trialists in Ireland will do battle on an out and back course designed by the race organisers before attention returns to the 20k course laid out and around Derry City Centre for the road race action, which takes place on Saturday and Sunday. A total of 274 entries have been received for the five separate events across the 3 days of action. In Gaelic Games, news of a fixture change. Division 3 County Senior League match between Naevora, Lower Rosses and Mallon. That'll be played in Mulla Derg this Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. In golf on the European Tour this week, it's the Andalusia Masters. Victor Perez leads the way. He's on 6 under par after a 65 today. He's one clear of Siwan Kim, Anton Carlson, Sergio Garcia and Christian Bezuidenhout. They're all on 5 under par. Gavin Moynihan's the best of the Irish. He's on one over after 72 today. On the PGA Tour, the Rocket Mortgage Classic taking place this week. There's three joint leaders in the early stages of this event: Bud Cauley, Kevin Kisner and Danny Lee. They're all on 6 under par. Seamus Power's 1 under through 14 holes. Elsewhere in golf, female members have been formally invited to join the world's oldest golf club at Muirfield for the first time. The Honorary Company of Edinburgh Golfers, who are based at the East Lothian Links, voted to change their controversial policy barring women 2 years ago. After receiving applications and assessing them through their traditional lengthy procedure, the club have now invited 12 ladies to take up membership of the 275-year-old organisation from Monday. A result in cricket, one-day interprovincial play in Pembroke today. The Leinster Lightning scored 114 all out. The Northern Knights got there easily. They won. They scored 115-3. Well, the next sport here in Highland Radio will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. But as you heard at the start of the news today, it was a very sad day here and locally, as thousands of people gathered in Glen Swilly to say their final farewells to Manus Mandy Kelly. Highland Radio's head of sport and friend, Oisin Kelly, has been reflecting on those magic memories.
Today the county says farewell to Manus Mandy Kelly. The rallying fraternity will say goodbye to their champ. A sporting icon, a legend, a hero to family and friends, all who met him and many who didn't. His drive, determination and talent led him to unprecedented success for a local driver with 3 in a row Donegal International Rally titles.
Moments that'll live with us forever, Ross, and you know, it's been very, very special. Like, and you know, no more than the team, as I spoke about earlier, you know, the bond with us, you know, you'll always look at those people every time we did it. Like, we did 3 in a row and you were a part of that, and that's a lovely thing. Like, that's something that's going to be very hard to give up, you know. It's just been a phenomenal time.
Last weekend, Manus told us Sunday would be a big day, but no one knew that Fanad, the stage that gave him so much, would be his last run. There's no doubt Manus was a great, if not the greatest. And today, he sits alongside many of the other greats, shining together in the stars. Rest in peace, Manus Mandy Kelly.
I just dropped in to see you all. I'll only stay a while.
Your voice, your station. Highland Radio.
time for weather now. It will stay dry and sunny this evening. Tonight will be dry. Also, it will be warm and humid with lowest temperatures of 14 to 17 degrees and mainly moderate easterly breezes. And just to have a quick look at the closing headlines, Mandy Kelly has been remembered as a man who left his smile in a person's heart. Thousands of mourners gathered at St. Columba's Church in Glenswilly today to say their goodbyes to the late councillor and rally champion who lost his life competing in the Donegal International Rally at the weekend. Donegal businessman Jim Ferry has been jailed for 9 weeks by the High Court. Mr. Ferry was in prison for contempt on what's believed to have been the 14th time the matter of his illegal dumping at Rossbracken was before Mr. Justice Max Barrett. The Dáil has been told that the closure of Kilcar Post Office at the end of this week is unnecessary and contrary to the agreement announced last year by Ampost and the IPU. A topical issues motion taken by Deputies Pat de Cope Gallagher and Pierce Doherty heard that the community in Kilcar was not given the same opportunity to raise objections and make observations. And it's been claimed that ongoing delays in social welfare appeals are leaving many people in the Northwest waiting months for a decision and consequently out of pocket. While successful applicants will be backdated, it could take up to 6 months before they are even considered. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 27th of June. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Elizabeth Peters, née Stewart, formerly of Cloncarney, Trenta. Burial of ashes will take place at 1 o'clock on Saturday in Trenta Presbyterian Church. The death has occurred of Margaret Kirk, Clochfin, Castlefin. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30, going to St. Columba's Church, Donnyloop, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Rebecca Key, Athna Paste, Clohan. Her remains are reposing at her son William and daughter-in-law Jeanette's home. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for 2 o'clock service in St. John's Parish Church, Kilty Vogue, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the Church of Ireland Cemetery, Stranorer. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu if desired to the Alzheimer's Unit, Woodville Ward, St. Joseph's Hospital, Stranorer, care of any family member, or Terence McClintock, Funeral Director. And the death has occurred of John McCallion, late of 24, Lower Strabane Road, Castlederg. John's remains will repose at his home until 10 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St. Patrick's Church, Castlederg, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral.